Dirt Ends Break continues.
So your wife tells you something. I need to know, where are we going with this?
Andy Dirt Johnson.
She said, you know what I think we should contemplate buying? She wants to put our kid on a leash.
Brandon Sprague.
It's like seeing a tiger in a zoo. You just feel awful for it.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Look, she's an unbelievable mom. She carries all the weight in our family. I have to preface all this because she says I only throw her under the bus on the air.
So you just threw her under
on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in hour number two on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. College football, NFL, MLB, NBA, MLS, you name it. All of that coverage on The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. A loaded second hour of the radio program. We have had our dirty polls around 727 all week. We're going to bump that to 903 today. Our guest has to go in the 9 a.m. hour, so we'll have the number 8 preview coming up in the final hour of the program. We'll have Saturday Story in the final hour as well. But a lot to get to in the second hour. We'll talk a little college football coming up. But it is time to open up Cafe Day Dirt and Spray. Good morning. Hello. Welcome into the cafe. Bright and early.
Can we get a smoking section table today? Does that exist in your cafe?
Can I
get over by the Keno machine? You got one over there?
There's a place I'm not going to name that I know that is open, and I just talked to somebody who knows the owner. And I said out loud, I can't believe that place is even open. There's nobody there, ever. And they go, Keno.
Yeah, Keno
lottery.
Does it.
Video lottery in Keno.
People show up, play
keeps
video lottery.
In business, man.
Yes, it does. Dude.
Some places are basically only open to have video lottery.
You're a makeshift casino that sells coffee on the side.
Right? Yeah. Somebody described ESPN that way. They said ESPN isn't in the sports business anymore. They're in the clicks business, buying their way into clicks.
Yeah, that is very true.
That's all they're doing now.
Attention. Look at me. Hot takes.
But in the cafe today, we do have a smoking section, but it's outside.
That's all right.
25 feet away from the building. It's called the parking lot. You and your uncle can go out there and smoke a dart.
What do we got? Some sausage links today?
I do on occasion embarrass my family if we go to a breakfast restaurant when we go there and the waitress goes, how many? Or the hostess. And I'll go, 4, non-smoking, please.
Dad.
Once in a while, you get a hostess that goes, we don't allow smoking. And I'm like, I know.
Quite possibly one of the funniest and dumbest things ever invented by the human mind is to have a smoking,
non-smoking section.
As if there is any difference and you won't be breathing in that smoke.
What's worse, the smoking, non-smoking in a breakfast restaurant or the fact that people openly used to smoke on airplanes?
Right, just in the cabin, lighting them up.
I feel like 5 years ago I sat in a seat that had an old ashtray in it. And I was like, what? These are still here?
You can pull that thing up, man. I used to shut my gum in there,
bird,
dude.
Man.
What is happening right now?
Yeah, so on the menu, the special today, it's a P1 Zach who sent us this.
Ooh.
Steak and eggs.
Steak and eggs.
Pretty basic.
I love steak and eggs.
Pretty great.
I don't eat steak enough for breakfast.
I don't either.
I should probably eat more steak for breakfast. Give yourself the day to digest it and work through it.
Well, it's the best, especially like if you have leftover steak.
Oh, yeah.
The greatest. A little scramble.
Yeah.
Or a
you can
burrito,
make a burrito. Or, you can do a scramble. Yeah. You can, yeah.
Now it's we're great. Talking.
All right. We have a lot to get to in the cafe. Let's start here.
Popped up. This could do it. Who's calling it? Rasmus is. She's there. And the bow lives for another day. Phoenix City, Alabama continues to play well. They win again 4-2.
There's Carl Ravitch, ESPN, Kenley Rasmus, and Phoenix City, Alabama eliminate our little Rainiers, our little Tacoma guys.
Our little Rainiers.
Our little Ranyes. The Ranyes have
hell
been
of a run. Hell of a run.
It's a great
Ranye.
Run. They got
it
to
is.
Like what, the final 8? Right?
I have no clue where we're at, but it's a hell of a run.
Sweet 16?
Where
I can't
are we
remember
at?
We're at. It's dwindling down.
Yeah, it's gotta be almost over, was, right? Yeah.
The Fighting Tokyos just beat Canada.
The kids are almost done playing baseball on my TV,
yeah,
right? We're almost there.
The championship games this weekend.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
Well, great run. Jeez. Great run for the Fighting Rainiers, but Phoenix City, Alabama continues to be the story.
Order up. This one in the air. Harris is there. Braves win. Just your regular Tuesday night game here at Truist. And what an unbelievable job here by Rysell Iglesias after after a leadoff triple from Shohei Ohtani. He leaves him stranded, and the Braves take game one.
Swag, do you want to hit the panic button?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you were.
No.
Nah, I'm not going to do the arm gesture. Yeah,
if you were there, though, you would
glad to see Tyler Glasnow
went in
back. That was his first game back off the IL.
Gave up three runs pretty
quickly. Gave up
three,
and then he settled down and
still
got through
three
six.
Yeah.
More disappointed that the top of the order could not get Shohei home after a leadoff triple in the top of the ninth with nobody out.
I'd be more disappointed that Shohei, the MVP,
guy's a fraud,
stranded four base runners when he went up to the plate.
He's just wondering why he signed with a fraudulent baseball team that's going to go bankrupt and he's going to opt out of his contract. A little worried about that.
Bravos beat the Dodgers in the series yesterday on TBS.
The windup and the 2-1 pitch to Cal. Swing and a drive. Down the right field line. Stay fair. Gone. Goodbye, baseball. Four consecutive home runs for Cal Raleigh. Three last night. And his first at-bat tonight off of Aaron Nola with a screaming line drive.
The original Rizzler, Rick Riz himself.
He's hanging him up soon, man. This is his last month of baseball.
Yes,
or maybe
it is.
Longer if they make the playoffs.
On Mariner Radio 710 ESPN, thank you to the Seattle Mariners for beating the Phillies again.
Yeah, they're helping you out a ton.
They are 2.5 games back in their division, still in the thick of the wild card race, and Cal Raleigh suddenly finding the baseball bat.
I mean, look, it's music to the ears of Mariner fans. You've been wondering where this guy is all year. When's he going to start getting going? When's he going to start hitting home runs? And so to have four in a row and four straight at-bats, maybe this is the
George
time that
Kirby.
He's waking up, man.
Yeah, George Kirby was mowing him down.
He was awesome last night.
We buying into the Mariners? Are we buying into Raleigh?
Well, if they...
No,
they've won four out of five on this homestand.
They're red hot right now.
Two of the best teams. They're, what they say, like 17 of their last 22 games are against the three worst teams in baseball.
Oh, you're
the
doing
Rockies,
the whole,
they're, the Angels,
they're getting
and A's.
They're glad
thing,
that they're getting the Mets. We're going to do that one again.
We're doing that again, huh?
Now's the time.
How's that worked out for you?
Yeah, like in September, statistically, it's
here?
The easiest record.
Yes, it
or
is.
The easiest schedule of anybody
Like, they're
left.
Two games behind the Rangers right now in the AOS. The Rangers are in second behind the Astros. They have the Mariners do have a 45% chance to make the playoffs. The Rangers have a 37% chance to make the playoffs. It's because of how easy their schedule is. They also seem like the kind of team over the next 5 to 6 weeks that will play up and play down, do they not?
How many general managers get fired when the team's in first place? The Astros fired their general manager.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
They're in first place. Just
that is a great question.
Bizarre that we didn't talk about it yesterday,
no.
But they fired the general manager.
Why did they fire him? What was it? Did they give a reasoning? They're in first place.
What division are they in?
I mean, I get
they're
it.
They're like by default in first place.
I mean, I
very weird. Very weird.
That's a strange one.
So a Portland stop down by 18 with 4 minutes to go. Late motors through everyone. Basket and the foul. And of course, there's always a little bit of a counterpunch at some point. Portland never seems to completely go away. It's really been lacking for this entire second half until now.
There's AJ Cannell. Fire Radio, heard on 910. Carla late, layup and one, but the Wings end up blowing out the Fire. The Fire are officially eliminated from the postseason.
This is it. We're done.
It's
over, mathematically speaking.
We need, I believe we are two games away from being in the bottom four, and the bottom four in the WNBA draft lottery is for the number one pick.
We better be piling up some L's here. How many games left in the regular season? It's almost over, is it not?
They have a weird schedule, Swag. Why do they take such an extended time off?
This is for the FIBA World Cup.
Oh, that's... I forgot about that.
Okay.
It's a huge gap in the schedule.
So, yeah,
so when's the break?
The 30th.
The first, yeah. They play this Sunday. I think they have games Friday and Sunday. Then they have a 2.5-week break.
Yeah.
Then they come back and play four games in 8 days or something.
And the season's over after that.
End of the regular season.
So they only have, like, how many games left in the
six or seven
total in the season?
I think six.
Six, seven. Let's go 0-6 or 0-7 and give ourselves a chance at a top four pick.
They're two games away from the Mercury for the last of the bottom four. The Storm, the Sun, the Tempo are the three worst. Mercury are tied right now with the Sparks. Portland Fire officially eliminated from postseason play.
Order up. They've made me the poster child, I think, only because I'm so outspoken as far as just being accepting of people in general. I do not believe that we should criticize and judge other people. I think we should be accepting and loving. We are all God's children. We are who we are, and we should be allowed to be who we are.
Did any of the faith-based communities that deeply believe the other way take umbrage with you?
Oh, absolutely.
They did?
Oh, yes. I get it all the time. I keep saying, well, if you're the fine Christian that you think you are, why are you judging people? Why are you, that's God's job. We're not God. We're not judges.
That's Dolly Parton, RIP, passed away at the young, ripe age of 80. Yesterday, unexpectedly, devastating news to many, but that was her on Larry King a few years back, being asked about being the face of the LGBTQ community.
There's something about the way that she talks, too, that's so unarming. Like, it's just the tone of her voice and the sense of humor that she always
had. She's not threatening you.
She's not threatening.
She's not shoving it down your throat.
Yelling at you. Here's my ideology. It just, there's a very, like, you kind of hear her talking like, yeah, makes sense, Dolly. Makes sense. R.I.P., man, to an absolute American icon.
So the Big 12 athletic directors are expected to meet tomorrow, and they have not determined what their policy might look like. I talked to Notre Dame sources today who said they are also completely opposed to having pro athletes return to college. And Samuel has also reported that the ACC is going to meet in the near future to talk about this as well. So I think all the major conferences are showing unity in this, and the fact that the Big Ten and the SEC were unanimous on this is really important, because you have conference leaders whose own head coaches are trying to do this say you can't.
A very interesting development in college athletics. That was Heather Dinich on ESPN Radio. They banned yesterday officially the return of NFL, NBA, and WNBA players to go back. This did not sit well in Baton Rouge, obviously.
Why would that be? What is Lane trying to do? Is he trying to add anybody to his team?
Joey McGuire also was like, we'll take any NFL guy. Yeah. It's like, okay, we know you'll do anything literally to get anybody. But all the conferences basically spoke out and said, thanks, no thanks. SEC and Big Ten, at least.
Yeah, the Lane Kiffin stuff out of this is hilarious, because I think it just – there's no doubt he's a great football mind. He's entertaining. He's awesome for the sport because he creates controversy. He elicits opinions, all of that. It's also the prime example of the issue that I have with him is that I don't think Lane Kiffin has ever thought about anybody other than Lane Kiffin. And the idea in this instance of, look, this might help me a little bit this year. Like, having a guy who was on an NFL roster come play tight end for me, like, sure, I guess he'd want that guy on your team. Can we take one step back and think to ourselves, is this good for the sport? The overall health of something that I love that has allowed me to amass millions of dollars teaching young humans how to play football and coach football at the high level. Like, is this what's best for the sport? And it's a rare moment where a lot of conferences are coming together and saying, enough of this. This is ridiculous. It's hilarious to see the conferences realize pretty quickly how much power they have and that you can institute rules and then push punishments on top of it. Like, for those wondering, like, well, yeah, what are they actually going to do, though? I don't know about what it's been in the other conferences and how many people have actually approved this ruling. The Big Ten confirmed that anybody who signs an NFL player to their roster, is the head coach of that team will be suspended for half of the season, and they won't let you coach. And so they're putting a pretty serious punishment on this. This should be the rule. It's ridiculous that guys can go pro and then come back because of a court order. And it would be nice if everybody, just at least one moment, thought about the overall health of the sport.
Jeez, oh, Pete!
It's not great. Half a season?
Half a season suspension is a pretty big deal.
That's a massive deal.
Right.
I heard, by the way, they'll have there's going to be more lawsuits potentially filed by players.
Yes.
To fight this decision by the SEC in the Big Ten.
There's already, I mean, the two guys who I'm most interested in because they're in the Big Ten are the Indiana defensive linemen. Now, they're not a part of this. They were injured and they didn't try out or, you know, whatever, get drafted and all of that. But they're both practicing, and they don't know if they're going to be available to play in the first game because they're waiting for more court orders.
Speaking of Lane Kiffin.
Order up! There's a lot of parts of it that I don't like within that. I don't think professionals should come back to college sports and college football particularly. But in this instance, this is not professionals that have gone played seasons or just, you know, randomly file an injunction in a state to become eligible. This is part of a specific class that was ruled wrong by the NCAA that was supposed to be 5 for 5. So, again, there's a lot of information on this that's not necessarily out there, that over 100 athletes in multiple sports were cleared and said, you can go play whether you signed pro contracts or not, whether you participated in training camps or mini camps, you are allowed to play. And that is the court order. And so I think in that, as you think back to all the different court orders of great players that were granted, whether that was Diego Pavia or now Trinidad for a 6-year, you know, we followed all those. All court orders have been followed. So I think you're going to get in a really interesting situation if now, as a conference, you start to say, well, we're not going to follow this court order that's been issued. And we're going to say that these kids that the court says can go anywhere, we're going to say, no, you can't.
That's Lane Kiffin yesterday.
Shut up, dude.
On the McAfee Show, trying to explain why this is a bad decision by the SEC, and they should have former NFL players on their teams.
You ready for the latest spin on it that came out? I think this came out late last night.
Oh, feed it to me, big guy.
That is that, well, we got all these guys who are on NFL rosters that all of a sudden randomly filed lawsuits to come back and play in college. What a unique circumstance that all these guys decided that's the move that they wanted to make. Well, CBS Sports reported that Lane Kiffin and LSU reached out to multiple players on NFL rosters and told them, you know, if you get cut and you don't think there's a chance you make the team, you should file a lawsuit, and maybe you'll be able to play another year of college football. They were the tip of the spear to this entire thing, and now you're trying to sit around and be like, well, I mean, when the court says what the court says, we can't just pick and choose which ones we're going to follow. You're the reason this exists in the first place.
He also, by the way, I mean, I think you or I may have mentioned it, but to add to what you're saying, not only reached out to the players and advocated for lawsuits, he reached out and talked to Todd Monken.
He called Todd Monken.
Todd Monken's like,
and then yesterday Monken had to like try and backpedal because he didn't want to throw another coach under the bus. He was like, I should have clarified that, but he's called, like, get, like, I just, this guy, he's slimy. We've always known he's slimy. There's a lot of people in the sport that are slimy. It's been nice to see some people go the other direction and be like, no, dude, we're not doing this.
And finally, on the Cafe de Dirt and Sprague.
Order up!
Yeah, FSU, they've got some issues up there. They got a coach they can't get rid of because they don't have the money to let him go. And so that's where they're at. Fortunately, we had enough money to pay our time off, I guess.
That's Steve Spurrier, the old ball coach.
I love the old ball coach. We need the old ball coach back.
Still does like a coach's show.
He does
in
like
Florida.
A radio show.
Yes, like once a week, and he sits down and he takes calls, and he still has his fastball, man. Thank God we had enough money to fire Billy Napier.
Bobby Bowden, more than him, right? That really, you know, drove home the visor. Like, when you think of visor, who do you think of?
That's a great question.
Do you think it's Chip Kelly? I guess it depends your age. Bobby Bowden, Chip Kelly, Steve Spurrier, or Lou Holtz?
Spurrier.
See, Lou Holtz, I don't think, was always a visor guy.
I thought he was a hat guy.
When he was at Notre Dame, he was a hat guy. He might have been a visor guy later in his time.
I apologize.
I just remember Lou Holtz grabbing the kid by the front of the grabbing the tight end by the front of his face mask.
That is a great question.
Lou Holtz, where is he?
Ryan Day wants to beat his ass.
RIP, by the way. Who do you think of with a visor?
Spurrier.
I think it's Spurrier, too.
Yeah.
Spurrier's probably number one.
How many Duck fans think Chip Kelly?
Yeah, the visor was, I mean, when he brought the visor to the West Coast, that wasn't really a West Coast thing. That was more of like when you think of teams in the South, you think of the visor.
The visor wasn't a West Coast thing?
I don't remember a lot of other West Coast coaches wearing visors. Name me another one.
How many coaches can you name that wear the visor?
They're all where? Where do they coach? Kirby Smart, what conference?
Kirby
Steve
Smart.
Spurrier.
That's a good one.
What conference?
Well, yeah.
It's an SEC. The visor thing is 100% a Southeast
Who's
thing.
Who's a golfer that rocks the visor the most?
Cashmere Keith.
Cashmere Keith does.
He's a visor
give me a
guy.
One, a
There's a
one.
Lot of them on the LPGA Tour.
I know
tour.
They love
Not
the
a lot of PGA Tour players wear visors.
No. LPGA makes sense because you use
Vijay Singh is a name that sticks out. Vijay Singh was always a visor guy,
Vijay
I feel like.
Vijay Singh is a great one. Let's put that as a poll question. Who do you think of with a visor? Chip Kelly, Steve Spurrier, Bobby Bowden, or Vijay Singh?
Vijay Singh. There's got to be Is there more? I mean, Vijay Singh.
Didn't you vow to be a visor guy golfing?
I did, yeah.
How's that going?
I mean, I don't play golf anymore, so when I played golf, I would occasionally wear visors.
That's depressing.
Yeah, sorry. Someday.
Losing the love of your
It'll
life.
Be real to me, man.
All right, there we go. Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague. Something we didn't get to that I'm going to play for Dirt on the other side, and it may be what many would say is the worst-case scenario. We'll get to that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan. All right, we got college football to get to here. I want to update you on a couple things, and then I watched something yesterday from start to finish that I'd actually like to talk a little bit about.
Look at you. Some glaring omissions, Freddie Couples.
Okay, so I wanted to sort this out real quick. Okay,
yes.
So I apologize. I might have seen Bobby Bowden. The thing I watched yesterday included a reference to Bobby Bowden.
Ooh, okay.
And it showed him being hoisted, And I thought in that I saw a visor on him. And so in my mind, I remember the straw hat days.
The straw hat at the end was what he was pretty known for.
Maybe I didn't see a visor and I thought I did. But I'll take that away. Who are the four most visor worthy for the poll question?
So Steve Spurrier definitely has to be on there.
Has to be on there.
From a local standpoint, Chip Kelly needs to be on there.
I agree.
Then it gets a little tricky. Do you go into the world of golf or do you stick in college football? Because Fred Couples is a good pull.
And he's kind of local.
He's a local guy. He's got the smoothest golf swing in the history of the game.
Well, who is more, is it Stoops or Kirby for you?
I would go Kirby, more top of the mind. And Bobby Stoops back in the day was, I want to say he's lost
big
in the
game whoops.
Big game whoops.
Big game whoops.
You know. If I think of that era of college football and visor, I think of Steve Spurrier before I think of him. And right now in coaching, is there anybody from a visor standpoint that you think of before Kirby Smart? Because there's some that do it. Like Lane Kiffin's a visor guy. I know
I do. Yeah, Lane's a visor guy. Lincoln Riley's a visor guy.
Lincoln Riley's always been a visor guy. Who's the more known visor guy, Kirby or Lincoln Riley?
It's got to
be
Kirby,
right?
Yeah.
I also think there's something about the one that he wears that just seems more sturdy and legitimate than the one Lincoln Riley.
You think it's a different? It's like looks, LeBron triple headband when he was balding?
One looks a little more like if you took it off, it's like flapping in the breeze and flimsy. And Kirby's looks more like a tour pro visor. Like he's getting ready to go play 18 holes after he's done, not like playing beach volleyball, if that makes any sense on the difference.
All right.
Phil Mickelson definitely was a visor guy, but not all. Like, I don't feel like he always wore one. Because I remember
a lot, though.
I remember a lot of
Did he wear it when he finally won the Masters?
What was he wearing when he won the Masters? It had to have been a visor,
I think it was a visor.
Let me see.
But at the end, he also wore a hat with shades.
Right. He was a hat with he'd slowly transitioned into a hat guy.
So do you
First
lose?
Masters, I'm pulling up the picture here. Yeah, 100% a visor. Yeah. So Phil, I'll allow Phil being on there.
We can only do four.
Okay, who do we got so far?
Spurrier, Kelly, Couples, and Smart.
I'm okay with that. That's your four. Keep it there.
Okay.
Keep it local. Phil Mickelson.
I agree.
Who gives
Freddie,
a rip about him?
Chip, kind of local.
Freddie,
you got Spurrier.
Legacy,
Spurrier
standing
should win
much stronger.
This, by the way.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of Duck fans might chime in and say, well, for me, it's Chip.
He's the visor, man.
All right. Tell you what I watched yesterday that I thought was really interesting, and then give you an update on some not-so-good news. But first, let's talk college football. Something we didn't get to in the Cafe de Dirt and Sprague. We've got college football picks. You mentioned Bill Conley earlier. He's got Hawaii as the group of six representative in the playoff.
The Rainbow Warriors going on the road. Them going somewhere cold would be really funny.
Them having to go to Notre Dame.
At Notre Dame in round one. 27 degrees in South Bend, Indiana.
A friend of the program released his official final national championship game.
Who are we taking?
Let's take a listen.
Okay. I would like to take the Miami Hurricanes and put them in the national championship game. And the team they're going to face in the national championship game, as fate would have it, is the very team who they stole a head coach from. Well, it's not stealing. He voluntarily went. But Mario Cristobal, once the head coach at Oregon, now the head coach at Miami, will face his old team in the national championship game. And before I even tell you who my national champ is, Dan Lanning's won multiple big games here, okay? No matter who wins in our Final Four, it could be Notre Dame, it could be Miami, it could be Lanning, it could be Sark, someone's going to have to eat it, because these are all coaches that the YouTube comments have reliably informed me cannot win a national championship. And someone's got to do it. And especially here with Mario and Dan Lanning, someone's got to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, I am picking the Miami Hurricanes to win the national championship.
Oh. Just pull his pants down and kick him in the groin, Josh Pate.
I love it. Chip on the shoulder. Nobody's giving us a chance.
He gave you the national championship.
Keep picking against us. I dare you. I dare you at your own peril. Pick us to not win the national championship.
Before we talk about that, I want to be.
Would that be my worst nightmare? Yes. Yes, it would. Thank you for asking. It was almost my nightmare last year. And then I thought, you know what? There's a new nightmare. I didn't realize we could get blown out in back-to-back playoff games. And not even get there.
I want to be as transparent as possible on this stuff. It is not set in stone. It could change Friday, for all I know. I have no idea where it's going. Right now, it is not looking very promising that Josh Pate is on the program this year.
Yeah.
There's been Communication's been interesting.
We're trying to get old.
I'm not faulting him.
No, he got bigger fish to fry than us.
He's got a new show coming to ESPN. He's already in like three other shows. He does his own show. Like, I want him on the show. We're trying to get him on the show. There was a, hey, text me in August. We'll coordinate. Schedule stuff. We'll hopefully figure it out, but there is a chance we don't have Pate anymore. And it'd be an RIP for us because we had him on years ago when he had like 10,000 YouTube subscribers.
Been a hell of a run, man.
It's been a hell of a run. And he's a good friend of the program. And unfortunately, it might be coming to an end. I'm still keeping hope alive.
Yes.
Maybe he texts me today.
Never know.
But it's going to be a tough one. We may not have Josh Pate, unfortunately. So I want to be honest and open about that. But he made his final picks. He's got Miami over Oregon in the Natty.
There's something about him picking Oregon to lose a national championship. He did the same thing last year. Last year, he had Alabama beating Oregon in the national championship.
So does that mean he's blown out again?
Probably, yeah, probably.
Not only losing to Mario, but losing in the fashion Indiana beat you in.
Oh, it would be the worst day of my life. It'd be the worst. Without
that'd be the worst day of your
worst
life?
Day of my life. I'm just
you
kidding.
You lived a pretty good life.
I'm just kidding. But sports life, yeah, that'd be the
sports
worst day
wise,
of my life. Of my sports life, that would easily be the worst day
I'm gonna
of my life.
I'm going to put that as a poll question, too. Sports-wise.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Is Miami and Mario Cristobal blowing out Oregon in the Natty?
Blowing them out in the Natty. Yeah. That would be... Look, Swag had a joke yesterday, and we both correctly responded, because I laughed about the idea, if the Cowboys are to win the Super Bowl and beat the Chargers in the Super Bowl this year... how funny that would be for his NFL fandom of quitting on the Cowboys and adopting the Chargers. And he said that he wouldn't come in. And both you and I immediately pointed out, you had to do a solo show after the 49ers blew a 10-point lead in the Super Bowl because they couldn't catch a punt and couldn't make a PAT after a touchdown. You had to come in and talk about your team losing the Super Bowl.
They lost in the first overtime. Right. Or no, the second overtime in Super Bowl history, right?
In Super Bowl history. They allowed the fourth down conversion. We don't need to open that can of worms again.
Solo show.
Don't need to open that can of worms. And then last year, I watched my team get blown out again in the postseason after thinking to myself, hey, maybe we'll play Miami in the national championship game. And then Dante Moore threw a pick six on the first play of the game. I then buzzed my head in my bathroom, which is a sign of severe mental health issues.
Hold on. Can I pause this? Dusty, you said this yesterday off the air, and Dusty goes, Dirt, shaving your head is a sign of mental health issues. And I just was thinking, I might be shaving my head all the way down for Hood to Coast.
I think it depends on
the... Does that make me look like a crazy person?
I think it depends on the optic in which you do it and why you do it.
Like I guess if you just get up on a whim and you're like, I don't know what to do.
I walked to the bathroom. I stared in the mirror for about 5 minutes and I thought, I'm going to cut my hair off. And that's a sign of probably a mental health crisis that I was in the middle of. And you know what I did? I got my ass up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you did.
And I came in here.
In the Rose City.
And everybody shot arrows at me for four hours. And they haven't stopped ever since then.
I'd argue for yeah, since it happened.
And I came. And I keep showing up. So if the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, your ass better be here on that Super Bowl Monday.
Yeah, right? That was quite a ridiculous
a cowardly opt-out.
Take by you. I'm not showing up.
One of the best parts about sports fandoms is that when you go through something like that.
You have to take
you gotta
it.
You got to take it. It because
yes.
I know the other end of it on my side. If Oregon is to win a national championship this year, do you know how insufferable we're going to be?
Well, you're already insufferable.
Exactly. Now imagine we have actual trophies to back it up.
Well, you already have a trophy. Well, it's called the Wolf.
Hey, that's right. Number one, baby. Crown that national championship. It's as real as USC's in 2003, but I digress. And it's actually more than Washington's in like 1947 or whenever they won theirs. But yeah, you give it if you win. You take it if you lose. That's what we love about sports.
Yeah. Well, paid as Miami. Miami getting back to the title game. That just in itself is... It's not that they don't have the talent. We all like Mensah.
He's a great quarterback. I think you can make a clear argument that they upgraded there.
Yeah, I think you can
and
make that
that's
case.
Nothing against Carson Beck.
I mean, at least that's how you feel going in, potentially. I don't blame you. I thought Beck was pretty good for him and sands a couple moments.
Their schedule, though, is absolute cake.
Well, they go to Notre Dame in November. That's certainly not cake. And remember, that game was what separated the other from making the playoff versus not making the playoff. So I'm looking forward to that one. But I just getting to the title game... Much like the NFL, it seems like such a big ask to get back to that game, right? Given the circumstance of who plays in this
And they lost a ton defensively. They lost their best offensive lineman. But what you see almost every year with programs that recruit an elite level, like this is the only question that remains for me about an Indiana in a year-in-year-out basis. Where does Miami always recruit? Where are the recruiting classes ranked? Top five.
Usually.
Every year.
In the Mario.
Ohio State, hey, we lost all these guys on defense. How are we going to be next year? Pretty damn good. Georgia had like eight guys go in the first round of the draft the year Dan Lanning left and came over to Oregon.
Yep.
What did they do again the next year? Oh, that's right. They won back-to-back national championships because they recruited elite players to follow up those players. And so Miami's not going anywhere. They do have to go on the road to Notre Dame at the end of the year, and it'll be cold weather, and it's a night game, so maybe that's impactful. We don't know what the rest of the ACC is going to look like, but on paper, on opening day of the season, do you know how many ranked opponents they have on their schedule?
How many? As of right now.
One.
Yeah. Well, it's preseason rankings.
It is. And maybe Clemson climbs their way in. Maybe NC State. Maybe, you know, Duke. I have no clue. Some of them might, but they play early in the season, nobody, and there's only one ranked team on their schedule.
The brand man has texted us.
What's he got?
He sent us, now it's AI overview, which I absolutely and utterly hate because I just
is it an
do.
AI video of me shaving my head?
No, it's the definition, and it says shaving your head during a mental breakdown is a common, highly visible response to overwhelming stress, loss of control, or overwhelming distress.
You ever be excited for a game and then watch your quarterback throw a pick six on the first play of the game? You ever think maybe this is our year? This is the year. And then you stand up, opening play of the game, you're kind of jumping up and down, your kid's getting into it, the wife's excited, and then the house goes quiet for 10 minutes?
I don't know if I enjoy anything. I don't root against Oregon.
Oh, I know you don't. It's funny.
I
get
the
it.
Idea of how much.
Let's
it
go,
means
baby. Here we go, baby. Here we.
I don't.
I'm just gonna go ahead and sit down now for a little bit.
I like the Braves. I root for the Niners. I hope the Beavs do well. I don't know if I, you know, I want the Blazers to be good. I don't know if I have anything that matches the emotional vulnerability. That college
some 20-year-old kid
you.
Is going
to
absolutely ruin
gonna
my mental
wreck
health.
Your entire life.
Some kid missing a tackle in the open field is going to ruin my week this fall. I'm gonna shout at my newborn because of that.
Your wife is going to meet with friends after Oregon gets blown out in a playoff game, and they're going to go, do any of your husbands just full body wax themselves when their teams lose? What?
Me in the bathroom.
Ripping you deserve it! What? I hope it doesn't happen, but I kind of do.
You did it to me again, Dan!
Damn it, Dante. You weren't him.
I'm so excited for football to be
I back. Am too, man. I really am. All right. I saw this yesterday, and it brought back some memories and an update on something. We'll get to that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan. All right. Welcome back in. Yes, indeed. Dirt and Sprague with you on 105.1 The Fan. Good morning. Happy hump day, everybody. RIP to Dolly Parton. Wrote a song about Eugene, Oregon. We can get to a audio cut we have of that at some point, maybe at the end of the show. Didn't get to that earlier.
I'd never heard the backstory before. I don't know if you guys knew the backstory, but I didn't. I know of the song, obviously, but I'd never heard of why she wrote it and where it came from, and I found that out yesterday.
We got more odds and ends to get to. It's a Status Story Wednesday. We'll go back to the dirty poll. Before we get to the third hour, just want to quickly give you a heads up. They've already recalled 30,000 pounds of beef from Argentina that we've imported in Florida and Texas. So,
that's not good. We're talking all beef, ground beef, any particular kind of beef, or just avoid the beef? No beef?
Because of how vague the government's been about what beef and exactly where and what it contains, we don't know the answers to this.
We're doing some ground turkey tacos this weekend, is that what you're telling me?
I did the buy a bunch of ground beef from safe places and freeze it so I don't have to buy beef for a while type deals yesterday.
Not a bad idea right there.
Just wanted to give you a heads up on that. Want everybody to be healthy and happy out there. I watched something yesterday, and you can kind of give it away in regards to the dirty poll. In the off chance this gets brought up, it came out yesterday. The Vince Young Untold on Netflix.
Ah, was it good? I remember seeing the trailer and thinking, all right, that's a story that does something for me.
So it's something like, it's a story I knew everything about, but like you find out more details about the things, like the suicide thing. You remember that?
I do remember that, yeah.
So I have a couple takeaways. One, it's such a crazy reminder of how many all-time great athletes don't make it.
Yes.
Like, make it, but don't make it to the level of that a 6'5 quarterback who can run and be that athletic and seemingly have a huge arm doesn't mean you're going to be successful in the NFL at all.
He's as good in college as we've ever seen.
He had a lot going on in his personal life, I think, at the worst possible times was another big takeaway. Mm-hmm. And he absolutely comes off as somebody that because of how famous he became in high school and then at Texas, capping it off with the national championship game, many believe is the greatest football college football game of all time.
Hard to disagree.
I think you can get an easy read of he was probably a nightmare to deal with behind the scenes when cameras weren't on.
Yeah.
And he kind of acknowledges some of it. I also think if you watch it, you may end up hating Jeff Fisher even more.
Really?
Jeff Fisher does himself no favors in this.
That was always one of the weirder combinations of... It's a bygone era of the NFL. He didn't want him.
He didn't
want
him.
He tried to fit him into his offense, and he didn't want to run what made... Like, when you look at Vince Young's passing numbers in college, it's really funny. Like, it's not... And again, it's a little bit different of an era, but like compare his numbers in college throwing the ball to like Matt Leinart's numbers. You know what his numbers were his last year throwing the football?
I don't know his final numbers, no.
In Texas, he completed 65% of his passes, which is pretty low for college football. 26 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. Let me go pull up what Matt Leinart's numbers were from that year. Now, what always made him great was what? It was his athletic ability. He was a freak. He ran for 1,000 yards in both of his last 2 years as a starter in Texas, including 12 rushing touchdowns.
Well, they also, an important note in there that people probably knew in the moment was Mac Brown gave him the ability to audible out of any play in any down in any moment.
Dude, you're a freak. Just go around, run around, make plays. How did he win the national championship? Scrambling.
Right.
So they ran in the game-winning touchdown.
There's a story in the doc. Look, here's my overall take.
Yeah.
Worth watching? Yeah. If you were a Vince Young fan or you loved that era of college football, I think it's fun to relive it. It's crazy watching some of the practice video and how old it looks nowadays with 4K and all that. But you relive the game, his frustrations early at Texas, his now I'm winning the Rose Bowl against Michigan and we're going to come back and we're going to win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Him being robbed of the Heisman because I don't know how he had two USC guys representing. Like, that's obviously a loaded team. Why two players representing it?
Yeah. 2005 was the year Bush won it, right?
Bush won it.
It was Bush over Vince Young because I think Leinart was the year before.
The Titans stuff was clearly that he didn't understand a lot of nuances of the game that you should. He also didn't put the time in as a quarterback that he should. He was partying. He was living the famous guy life.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't understand coverages.
Right.
And the coaching staff didn't want him. Norm Chow was the OC. Fisher was the coach. They wanted Jay Cutler. Do you know why they drafted Vince Young in Tennessee?
I do not know.
By the way, you know who his hero was? Like he looked at him and called him
Vince
Pop.
Young's?
Yeah.
Mm.
Called him Pop because his dad was in jail most of his life. Steve McNair.
So he goes to the franchise that... Yeah.
Thinking, this is going to be it. He thought he was going to sit for a year with Steve McNair.
They traded
him to Baltimore.
Yeah.
He becomes, you know, he's still his hero. He's talking to him all the time, tells him I'm going fishing, and it's the weekend that he's shot dead on his couch. So you're like, he's battling second year woes.
Oof.
Then his hero and his icon dies.
Right, gets murdered.
Right? What was I saying? Oh, why the Titans drafted him. Do you know why they drafted him?
Mm-mm.
Bud Adams, the owner of the Titans, insisted. Jeff Fisher wanted Jay Cutler. He goes, Jay Cutler was the guy I wanted. I thought he made the most sense for what we were and what we wanted to be. Bud Adams insisted they draft Vince Young. Purely, according to Jeff Fisher, the mayor of Houston's wife did a radio interview and said, we better be drafting Vince Young. I'll tell you that much. If we don't, I'm going to jump off a bridge. And he told Jeff Fisher, I want to see her jump off a bridge.
That's a very smart, realistic way to run an NFL franchise. You know, that's exactly how you want to make decisions at the highest level in the National Football League.
We're going to get to it later, but yeah, I watched the Vince Young doc, and it was a nice little throwback to college football fandom.
I mean, that a lot of people would argue that's one of the peak moments of the sport, right? Keith Jackson on the call, USC in their dynasty, huge favorites over Texas. They had won how many games in a row?
That's his last game, wasn't it, Keith Jackson?
I believe so. I think that's when he hung him up, and it's just like, what a way to go out, dude. It's still one of the most memorable college football games in my entire life. Like, not many games do you remember every little detail of, you know, what it would have been 20 years ago, right? 2006, I think, national championship. And so 20 years later, we all remember the little details from that game. And it's hilarious to think about an era in the NFL. And this doesn't happen as often anymore. It doesn't mean the guys can't be successful at the next level that were really good in college. It still happens. But the idea of drafting a guy and looking at him and saying, you know what you're really good at? We're not going to let you do that anymore. It's just as hilarious. Like, Mariota dealt with a lot of this when he went to Tennessee as well, of like, let's put you in a pro-style offense. Let's drop you back a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's try and put a square peg in a round hole, and it just doesn't work. And so I've always felt bad for guys. If Vince Young had played 20 years later, we do this a lot in the NBA. Put, like, Cliff Robinson in the modern NBA as a 6'10 guy who could shoot the ball. He's got a $300 million contract. You put Vince Young in these offenses nowadays, running around making plays like this, in NFL offenses that are tailored to quarterbacks like this, it makes you wonder, would his career have gone much different?
I also couldn't help but have the thought multiple times how much money he would have made at Texas.
Yeah. In the NIL era. To come back for another year.
God. Yeah. They might have made it worth it for him to stay and bypass leaving for the draft just to repeat as a national champion.
And go win your Heisman Trophy, because some would argue he should have won it that third year.
He easily would have won the Heisman the next season. But yeah, man, it was a really good kind of throwback. He wrote Jeff Fisher a note apologizing, actually, you come to find out. Not to ruin anything.
That's all right. I'll still
Jeff Fisher never wrote him back, and they said, why did you not write him back? Because he basically was like, I apologize for how I handled certain things. And Jeff Fisher goes, he didn't spell my name right. And I thought,
that's 7-9 BS, Jeff Fisher.
It's also kind of funny that he didn't spell Jeff Fisher right.
Is it a C-A? Is there a C in there?
No, it's just a Fisher.
Normal, just F-I-S-H-E-R?
Yeah.
Because Joe Fisher is a C.
I know. But also, how petty do you have to be to not just look past that and write a letter back to somebody who's telling you sorry?
Let's let bygones be bygones here. It's been nearly 20 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's be some adults in the room. How about that?
Loaded third hour of the radio program. Poll questions are up. Very quickly, let me read them off. We have the one we just joked about. Would Mario in Miami blowing out Oregon in the national championship game be the worst thing to happen to you in your sports life? Yes or no? That's 50-50. And what sport wrecks you the most emotionally? NFL, college football, NBA, or MLB, NHL / other?
Ooh, I like that.
Right now. Care to guess what's winning?
College football?
College football. 44.4% of you say it's college football, with the NBA second and the NFL third. Mm. Loaded third and fourth hour. We will roll on the dirty pole in hour number four. Status story as well. Back with more on 105.